Turn with me this morning to the 14th chapter of the book of John. John chapter 14. Our Lord is about to return from whence He came. There's a lot of folks that really don't know where our Lord came from. He came from heaven. He came by appointment. He came by commission, authorization. He came by and under the authority of God the Father. And here, in this 14th chapter, He speaks as though His work that the Father sent Him to do has been finished or completed. Although the literal part of His death and His burial and resurrection is in the near future, from the time that He writes this 14th chapter. But He speaks as though it was already done. And He speaks here to these chosen few and tells them not to be in a condition of remorse, disappointment. He's going back to the Father which sent Him. He's gone to the Father's house. And He promises them that if He goes to the Father's house, why, He'll come back one day in His time and receive them that they might be where He is. So He tells them, in that first verse, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house, that's where He's going. Verse 3, if I go, prepare a place for you, I'll come again, receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know. It's strange that He said this to them when in the next verse, Thomas, one of His disciples, said, we know not whither Thou goest, and how can we know the way? When He has already said, in verse 4, and whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. But Thomas said, Lord, we know not whither Thou goest, and how can we know the way? And He said unto him, I am the way. I heard someone say recently that the Bible, they were stressing the importance of the Bible, the Word of the living God. And certainly you cannot put enough importance and value to the Word of God. But He was stressing the value of the Word of God, the importance of the Word of God. And He said, the Word of God is our path to heaven. Well, there is some truth there. The Word of God, the incarnate Word of God, the Word made flesh, certainly is our path, our entitlement to glory is because of Him. But the Word of God, just the Bible here, Search the Scriptures wherein you think you might have eternal life. But these Scriptures, they speak of me. They speak of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in that realm and in that light, He said, I'm the way and the truth and the life to the Father's house. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. No man enters into the presence of God apart from me. I mean, that's an absolute certainty. We would not tell ungodly sinners that there's a possibility that they might wind up in the Father's house because of their works of the law, the works of the flesh. No. We tell ungodly sinners there's no way into the Father's presence except by Him. Not apart from Him, but by Him. He is the way, the truth. He is the life. No man, in an absolute sense. No man of Adam's fallen race. No man, no woman, no boy, no girl shall come to the Father's house or the presence of God apart from me. Everybody, sooner or later, must deal with this man, Christ Jesus. Well, you can read the rest of it there. The 19th verse. He says, yet a little while, a short time, just a little while, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. In a short time, I'll be gone, and the world seeth me no more. When He was here on the earth, in the presence of men, accomplishing the Father's purpose in the matters pertaining to God's salvation, they seen Him, but they didn't know Him. They seen Him with a bodily vision. They seen Him, but they didn't know Him. I noticed on one of the church bulletins here some time ago, a bulletin board that's erected outside of the meeting house where it's the subject to be discussed that coming Sunday morning at this church building was go something like this. The only Christ that some men will see is the Christ that they see in you. And that probably has some truth to it too, but it's not the whole truth. Because when He was here on this earth, they did not recognize Christ as Christ. They seen Him, but they didn't know who He was. Which leads me to say, if you expect people to see Christ in you, you may be disappointed, even though you try hard. Because if they couldn't see Christ in Christ, they won't see Christ in you. And there's a reason why they won't see Christ in you. And there's a reason why they don't see Christ in Christ. We'll talk about that later on. But He says, yet a little while, short time, and the world seeth me no more. But listen to this. But ye see me. Somebody seen him, Jim. Somebody seen him, recognized him, and found out who he was, and believed on him to the saving of their soul. But ye see me. But ye see me, and because I live, ye shall live also. Now, the latter part of that verse, because I live, ye shall live also, does not apply to those who he refers to in the first part of the verse, yet a little while and the world seeth me no more. They never will see. But ye see me. Somebody. There's some out of Adam's fallen race that sees him. Happy is the man that sees him. Blessed is the man who sees him. For in him is eternal life. The world saw our Lord Jesus Christ for a very short time. But now, he says, it seeth me no more. It only saw him with the outward eye. And I'm afraid that the majority of what they call Christendom today, not just what they call the Baptists or the Methodists, the Presbyterians, the Pentecostals, the Charismatics, but the majority of all of them put together only see him with the outward eye. These here that he primarily speaks to, when he says it's just a short time, but now it seeth me no more. He's saying when the clouds receive him, when he was on that mountain and the disciples were there, and he departed from them, going back to the Father from whence he came. When the clouds received him and hid him and concealed him from their bodily vision, from that time until this spiritually dead world has lost sight of him altogether. If all you ever seen in the Lord Jesus Christ is the birth of that little child, you haven't seen him aright. Spiritual sight of the Lord Jesus Christ does not depend upon the bodily presence of its object. These folks who had seen him spiritually, which he refers to in the latter part of the verse, but ye see me, those folks, because I live, ye shall live also. These folks who see him spiritually with the inward eye, they saw him after he had gone out of this world unto the Father. These others were in this spiritually dead world that cannot see him, but these that spiritually see him, that he has reference to, ye see me, and because I live, ye shall live also. Listen carefully now to this verse. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. The world seeth me no more. Spiritually dead in trespasses and in sins. But you see me, because I live, ye shall live also. Now it is a sign. And I'm not much for signs, are you? But it is a sign, a token, or a mark of a true follower of the Lord Jesus Christ that he sees his Lord and his Master and his true and living God when he is not to be seen by the bodily eye. That's a mark of a true believer. That he sees the Lord Jesus Christ not by the bodily eye. He sees him this inward eye. He sees him intelligently. Most people don't, do they? You could say that. If you ask the question to 999 out of 1,000 people that you would meet today or tomorrow or the day to come, and ask him who the Lord Jesus Christ is, they could not intelligently tell you who he is. But those that see him, Bob, as he is not seen by these, who only see him with a bodily vision, they see him intelligently. They know who he is. They know who he is. They are sure. And they're able to say like the apostle, I am thoroughly sure and convinced that which I have committed unto him, he's able to keep unto that day. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded. They see him intelligently. They see him as the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. They came to John the Baptist and they said, are you he? Well, they said would come. He said, I'm not he. He said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin. They see him intelligently. They trust him. They believe him. They look to him for all their needs. They know him intelligently. Oh, my soul. They know him spiritually. They know that he is their Lord and their Master. They have discerned his character. They know that there's no sin in him, but there's sin on him. And the sin that's on him, they know to be their sin. They know that. They apprehend him by faith, not by sight, but by faith. For the Scriptures say, the just shall live by faith, not by sight. They look upon him in love and admiration and adoration. They love him because they've found out and they've seen him. And they found out that they love him because he first loved them. You remember, if you be one of his this morning, you remember that it all started by a look. Look ye unto him, all ye ends of the world, and be ye saved. You're saved not by the look. You are saved by the object of the look. Your look took upon itself the direction of the object of the look. And that look, you've seen the Lord Jesus Christ. You started out with the look. This business of salvation commences with the look. With the look, with the eye of faith. Oh, don't misunderstand me. Now, you do not by nature have faith. You're void of faith. By nature, you could never be connected with God's Christ. You never could see God's Christ. Faith is that which joins you to Him. It's through the look of faith. Faith does not lie dormant in you. You have no faith. God sovereignly dispenses faith to whomsoever He will. So I would not want you to think that you could turn something on and faith would come. Oh no. It's a gift of God. And the man who's a true follower of the Lord Jesus Christ and knows Him to be their Master and their Lord and their Savior, he apprehends Him by faith. He lays hold of Him by faith. He clings to Him by faith. He looks to Him by faith in love and adoration. Starts by look. We live by looking and we still live by looking. It starts by looking. It continues by looking. We look to Him. It did not cease when our hearts were overwhelmed with His love and His mercy. And when our understanding was enlightened to see that He lovingly gave Himself in our place, in our stead, in our room. It's through His obedience and His righteousness, the fact that He became our sin bearer, He bore the penalty due us as sinners. We did not quit looking when we found that out, but we continue to look. It starts with the look. It continues with the look. Bless God, it will be consummated with the look. And when we see Him, it's the look. We shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Look. The world, listen to me now. Let me say that it's looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. The world sees Him no more, for it never seen Him aright the first time. So they see Him no more. But ye have seen me, he said, and lived. Life is in a look. Life's in Him. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the resurrection and the life. Life's in a look. Ye see me. Ye see me. And live. And now continuing still to see me, you remain in life. We must never think that we live by works or feelings or ceremonies or sentiments. No, sir. The just shall live by faith. As I've already told you, we do not tell the ungodly sinner the way of obtaining life is by the works of the law. But we say, look! and continue your look. And your life is consummated in a look. Nor do we tell a believer that the way of sustaining this life is by the works of the law or some legalistic application to it. Our glory, the believer in Christ Jesus that sees Him, he glories. He glories that our life is not dependent on ourselves. That's our glory. We glory in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of Christ. Glory in that cross because my security, my safety, my salvation is not in myself, but it's in Him. See? It's in Him. Not in anything I do or don't do. It's in Him. It's tied up, shut up, bound up, wrapped up in Him, this person of whom Paul said, whom eternal life's in whom? It's in Him. Listen, our safety's in Him. The Apostle Paul himself said, I am crucified with Christ. And he goes on and he says, Nevertheless I live. I'm killed with Him. I died with Him. Nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, in this body of flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Life. But you got to have God's life in you. It's only to be found in Him. Look and live. Look to yourself until you're old and gray. Look to yourself until your good deeds. Look to your good intentions until your dying day. But life won't come that way. Being delivered from this death doesn't come by looking at yourself. Look and live. We sing that song many times, don't we? Look and live. Because He lives, we live, and shall forever live. We have here, in this verse, a life spoken of. It does not say here, because I exist, ye shall exist also. Know what it says. It says, because I live, ye shall live also. Now, before the disciples believed, there was a time when they didn't believe Jim. They didn't believe Him. They didn't know who He was. Now, before they believed, they existed. And there may be some here this morning that you just existed. This life is not a mere existence. These apostles existed before they believed. And even apart from spiritual life, even if they hadn't been the recipients of spiritual life in Christ Jesus or regeneration, they still would have existed, and they would have existed unto this day. Every soul that comes forth from God, when God breathed into man's nostrils and man become a living soul, He became a living soul from God. And He never ceases to exist. Whether He's saved or whether He's lost, He'll exist. Life here that He's talking about is something far more nobler, far more higher, far more wonderful than existence. Ain't that right? Oh, yeah. What is it? What is life? Well, we know it practically, but we don't have words to tell it out. I know it in my soul. But I can't make up a sentence that would explain intelligently the definition of it. I don't have the capacity to do so. The Bible says, as all flesh is not the same flesh, all life is not the same life. Now, I have a good friend who said there's life in vegetables. And that's right, isn't it? Jim graduated college with a degree in biology. And I know Jim hadn't forgot that. That there's life in vegetables. But that ain't the same life he's talking about here, is it, Jim? There's life in carrots and cabbage. And I was telling about my friend. He said, now, what you need to do is drink so much carrot juice every day. Because he said there's enzymes, there's life in that vegetable. And he said they'll go into your system and they'll help you. Which, no doubt, there's a measure of truth to what he said. But I know this, that there's life in the vegetables, there's life in a tree, there's animal life, there's life in flowers, but not like the life that he mentions here. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Isn't that right? That which is born naturally is flesh, and that's all it can ever be is flesh. Something else got to take place. That's existence. You must be born again. That's what our Lord said. I'm not trying to be tough or difficult. I just want to be truthful. You can exist. But the life he's talking about here, when he says, you see me, and because I live, ye shall live also. That life is in him. It's eternal life. It's a life from above. You must be born again, is what the scriptures say, but the translators and the writers say that really it means ye must be born from above. God must be the sole instrument in birthing you. He must create in you a capacity to loving, to worship, to commit yourself to Him. There's life in the believer when he's been regenerated. He's regenerated not by anything that he does or don't do. Regeneration is in the hands of God Himself. You remember the second chapter of the book of Ephesians, where it says, "And you hath He quickened." That's regeneration. It says, prior to the quickening, you're dead in trespasses and in sins. And you hath He quickened, given life. Ye must be born again. Huh? There is a life in believers which is not found in other men. It's eternal. It comes from God. And He gives it at His sovereign disposal. You remember there in the book of Genesis, God made this man out of the dust of the earth. And it says that God indicates anyhow that God leaned over, taking the initiative. And this man that He formed out of the dust of the earth was laying there prone. No life in him. No life in him. He didn't die. He just didn't have life. He didn't even have existence. Laying there. And God breathed into his nostrils. And he became a living soul. To live with God or to live apart from God throughout the forevers to come. One of the two. Alright. God told this man, and I've said this, if I've said it 100 times, I've said it 500 times. This man, Adam, represented all future generations. He represented every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl that came from his loins. He stood there as their representative. And what he did was imputed to them. There I stood. Adam, there I stood. Oh, with all the fervor, with all this energy, there he stood. And God told him, said, "Adam, I've made you. Everything here in this garden of delight is yours. You're the boss. You're the husbandman of the garden. What you say goes." But he led him over here at that one tree. He said, "Of the fruit of this tree, don't you eat." He said, "The day that you eat of that fruit, surely die." That was the threatening command of God to Adam. Alright. "In the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." He did eat of this fruit. To make a long story short, he did eat of this fruit. And since God is true to His Word, no trifling with God. We cannot trifle with Him. God's true to His Word. Whatever He said, that's what it'll be. I heard a fellow talking about the power of God. He was talking about it, how infinite in power God was, that what all He could do and what all He did. And said, "All I have to do is go back there in the Old Testament, read about God destroying civilizations, destroying whole armies, drowning Pharaoh and all of them, and parting the Red Sea, and all these great things. He said, that ought to be enough to cause you to look to him. I'd look to him if I never heard that. I don't have to have that to look to him. The cross of Jesus Christ tells me everything. I see the mercy of God and the love of God and the justice of God. I see all that God is in His Son. I don't have to have all those things. God told him, Adam said, the day that you eat of that, the day you're going to die. And I said, now, God being true to His Word, the self-same day that Adam ate of the fruit, that day he died. It wasn't, eventually you'll die. But that very day he died. But yet he existed. He lost that eternal life that he had with God. He lost that connection he had with God. And he no more enjoyed the atmosphere of God when God came in the cool of the day to fellowship with him. No, he run and hid himself and made vain excuses for what he done. And as in him, so it is in us. We are the offspring. We're dead in trespasses and in sins. And we, as Adam must be, we must be born again. We must have this life that comes from God. Oh, listen. This spiritual life that he had, it departed from him. He lost everything. Lost everything in the fall. We lost it all too. He is no longer one with God. He fell from his first estate. He had to be born again as you and I have to be born again. He's dead to the life of God. And you and I are dead to the life of God. And we have to be quickened. We must be as those that are alive from the dead. State of condemnation. The fall of Adam brought about universal death over all Adam's race. Every one of them. The sweetest baby. The sweetest baby that's born of woman is born in trespasses and in sins. Over every member of Adam's race. No exception. Universal death. This universal death, the Lord Jesus Christ delivers us who trust Him. He delivers us from the results of the fall of Adam by implanting in our souls spiritual life. And by no other means can this death be removed. No other means. No other means. Try as you may, it won't work. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not on the Son hath not life, and the wrath of God hangs over his head, and will surely fall upon him. The work of regeneration in which this new life is implanted by God Himself effectually restores that individual from the ruin of the fall. Ruin. For we're born again. We believe in Christ because we're born again. You don't believe in Christ in order to be born again. Believing in the Lord Jesus Christ is the result of the new birth. See? You don't argue with God when you have life. When you hear the gospel, you have life, you believe. You trust Him. You trust Him. There's no works to it. Say, well, I'm saved because I believed. You believe because you were saved. Everybody, you can believe. You believe because you're born again. It's all of God. He implanted the new birth, not you. You didn't say to yourself, I'm born again. I'll be born again. You might have said that, but it didn't work. God's got to do that. And the sign that He did do that is that you know Him intelligently and you are full of admiration and love and devotion to Him and you follow Him. No one has to say, well, what do you think about baptism? You think you ought to be baptized? Now you better leave. You don't have to talk to Him about that. You know what He says? He says, see, there's water. Why can't I be baptized? Well, thou can. You can if you must. He's baptized. Identifies himself with the dead Christ and the risen Christ, the ascended Christ. Well, we're born again, the Bible says. The work of regeneration in which this new life is implanted effectually restores the ruin of the fall. Born again. Listen, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God that comes from His mouth. By the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. I need to remind you that when we are born again, sin is still there. Do I have to tell you that? Sin is still there. It's there. It's called in the Bible a body of death. It's what causes this struggle. We struggle and fight. And we cry out like the apostle himself and say, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank Thee. Through Jesus Christ, I claim the victory. Yeah. This life, what is it? Listen. To know it, you must have it. Is that right? Yeah. I said, I can't. I know practically what it is. But I don't have words to tell you. But I know this. To know this life, you must have it. I ask this question. Have you been born? Have you been born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but have you been born of God? Was there a time in your life when you passed from death unto life? Has God given you understanding? Let me read something to you here. I thought of this morning. It's in the 5th chapter of the book of 1 John, I believe. 1 John, chapter 5. I think it's verse 20. Listen to what it says. Oh, I like this verse. And we know that the Son of God's come. We know, it's not fictitious to us. It's not to the believer. It's not just a story that they tell on December the 25th. It's more than that. We revere the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. The incarnate Word. God becoming a man. God condescending. Leaving everything. That little baby. Laying snug in the womb of that virgin. That little baby. God. God Almighty. Over all and above all. We reverence the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, sir. Oh, listen. We reverence His name. Called the body of death. I told you about that. What is it? I told you to know this life, you must have it. I said, have you been born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, or the will of man, but have you been born of God? Was there a time when you passed from death unto life? Huh? Has God given you understanding? And we know that the Son of God has come. We know that. And hath given us an understanding. You didn't have an understanding before. God comes through your mind to your soul. He enlightens your mind. He gives you an understanding. Hath given us an understanding that we may know Him. Know Him. And this is eternal life, that they might know Him, the true and the living God. Know Him, know Him, know Him. Intimately, personally, intelligently. Know Him. Know who He is. We might know Him that is true. And we are in Him. We're joined with Him. What He did, we did. What we deserved, He bore. What He deserved is freely given to us. We're in Him, one with Him. He's the vine, we're the branches. We're one with Him. When He died, we died. When He rose again, we rose. We're seated with Him now in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He has blessed us. All spiritual blessings in Him. Huh? Oh, yes. Have you been born? Huh? Well, listen. Give us understanding. We may know Him that is true. We're in Him that is true. Even in His Son, Jesus Christ. And this is the true God and eternal life. This life, it's in Him. I've proved that beyond the shadow of a doubt. Life's in Him. It's not in carnal works, ceremonies. It's in Him. It's in the person, Jesus Christ. It's in Him. He said it was. And this life that's in Him is preserved. Preserved. Someone said they had a jar of peaches that they cold packed, put in a jar, preserved them for 20 years. They said they was as good when they came out as they was when they went in. 20 years. 20 years. That's not even the snap of a finger in light of eternity. This life that He gives us that's in Christ Jesus is preserved. Preserved. He said, because I live, ye shall live also. What's that mean? It means all the degree of life which is secured by the covenant of grace ye shall have ever. All your new nature. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature.
been born from above. All your new nature shall live eternally. The life implanted by regeneration shall never die out. Never, never die out. Isn't that something, Jim? Never die out. Oh, you may have trouble like Job had trouble. You've had a little trouble, haven't you, Jim? You've got some worries, haven't you? Sometimes your boys and your daughters causes you some pain inwardly. And I'm sure you're tempted by the devil. But they can't touch that life. That life's preserved. The devil can't put his finger on it. If you had 10,000 devils all joined together, they can't bother this life. This life comes from God. And it's God who preserves that life. It means all the essential spiritual graces which make up the new man. That's eternal life. No part of the new man, that which is a new creation, new creature, no part of that new creature shall die. No part of this old body's going to die. It ain't no part of that new creation. It's the old creation. It's going to die. It's going to die. It applies to all the parts of this newborn nature. Whosoever, our Lord said, drinketh of this water which I give unto him shall never thirst. He said it's like unto a well of water that springs up unto everlasting life. Listen. Jim, I said, we may well be tempted, but we shall not be so as that it will lead us to cease to live in Christ. We won't die. We may be tempted. He said, I am come that you might have life, and that more abundantly. All the members of this newborn man, this spiritual man, all of them shall have life and shall be safe and preserved by God. You could say of us, as it was said of him, there shall not be a bone broken in his body. You say that. We're going to be preserved. We shall not go into life halted and maimed. Oh no. But he will present us faultless, without spot, and without blemish in the presence of Almighty God. That which is born of God, new creature in Christ Jesus. It means that the quickened man shall never fall back into that old death from which he has been delivered. No, 1,000 times no. Jesus Christ said, Because I live, ye shall live also. It also says, Jesus Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. He dieth no more. He died on the tree, the man Christ Jesus, regaining that which we lost in the fall, bringing about a perfect righteousness charged to our account. All of our sins rolling on him. And he bearing the penalty that is due us against our sins. He bore it all. He died. And the women got together. They took care of his dead body. Dead, no life in him. Joseph of Arimathea came along and said, "We got some..."